We've got email from you.
And you.
Play some music.
There's lots of mail indeed. We've got email from you.
Cancel your phone.
There's some we cannot read.
You stupid bunch of...
Some say our show should be admired. And others say we should die in a fire. We've got email from you. We've got email from you.
Okay, our very first letter comes to us from Frank, and this one is going to be aimed at Tom. He's our expert in this particular area. It says, gentlemen, my wife and I got married about 6 months ago, and ever since then, I'm noticing a bit of a trend in the bedroom, if you know what I'm saying. He says, my wife always kind of, you know, dresses up a little bit. She's dressed nice, cute, sexy outfits when she comes to bed. Me, I just put on an old t-shirt and take the pants off. Kind of nailing you right there, isn't it there, buddy? Mm-hmm. All right, he says, I feel like I should be dressing nicely or sexily for her, just like she does for me. Should men dress up for their women when they go to bed? Tom, you're the expert here. What do you say?
No.
All right. Well, wrong answer, but that's okay.
What do you
mean? Explains the lack of activity right there.
You dress up? What do you wear? No, I don't want to know.
Huh?
No,
let me show you, because I happen to...
brother.
You know, this is a very difficult one, because seriously, what do you guys have as options? What do we have as options for us to, you know, do something special for her?
It's not something special for her, but I got for Christmas.
Here we go.
I got this wonderful bathrobe. Big, fuzzy, like Turkish bathrobe that's like me and a friend could fit in there. It's huge.
Well,
it wraps around me and everything.
Yeah.
And for the winter, it was great. I'd sleep in the bathrobe.
There you go.
It's got to be better than shorts and a t-shirt.
First of all, I think the premise of the question is a fake. Because
what do you mean it's a fake?
He's talking about action after you get married. You know, come on. Let's get realistic here, shall we?
Another insight into the life of Tom. That explains why you're grumpy,
buddy.
Well,
you've heard the old test, right?
No.
You probably won't agree with this, but the idea is to put a penny in a jar for every time you make whoopee before you get married, and you take a penny out of the jar for every time you make whoopee after you get married,
whoopee?
The jar will never be empty.
That's not true. I would remind me to share with you the quarter story.
No, I don't want to.
There
really
was the quarter jar. And the thing is that no, you sick perv about having relations before you get married. The rule is your first year of marriage, you put a quarter in the jar for every time you and the missus have relations. And then
that's the way you heard it in Baptist society. Yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, you count up in the second year. And I got, first year.
What happened to the second year?
Then the second year, you take quarters out.
And the jar will never be empty.
And they're saying that but that's
when
not
the jar is empty, the wife turns to you and says, "We're done, honey. We're not doing that anymore."
See? There it is. Actually, if you keep the quarter jar and you pay attention to it at the end of the first year, you can go to the beach for a week. Yes, you can. All right, Frank, here's the thing I got to tell you.
Second year we go to Dairy Queen and that's it.
Frank, it's okay. You just, listen, man, don't get something that you should not be wearing. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you look like. You don't describe it. If there's a lot of you, nothing that is involving spandex. Okay, let me just go that far.
Pink boa.
No.
Can we move on to the next question?
Yeah, all right, let's just move on to that. I see the face of an elephant here.
We did this twice for this, really?
Yeah. Here we go. Heather writes to us and says, my kid loves to run around. Heather, I already don't like you. He's only 5, but it's hard to keep track of him because he's always getting into trouble. Now I really don't like you.
What kind of trouble, Heather?
Yeah, I can just see this kid running amok in the mall or at a restaurant. That's my favorite type of child.
Oh, he's just that way.
Oh, he's so precious.
He's high-spirited.
Oh, look, he tripped the waiter and they spilled dinner, but that's okay. That's him. He's five. What can we do? Whenever we go somewhere, I put him on one of those harness leases.
She's going to get on a leash.
Yeah, it makes sense because I'm always looking at my phone, and that way I don't lose track of him. Oh, Heather, you're an awesome mom. Oh, of course. But over the weekend, some woman yelled at me for this. She said I should be a responsible parent and pay attention to my son. He's my child. Shouldn't I be able to put him in a harness if I want to? Sure, Heather. Shouldn't we be able to put you in a harness if we want to? Good.
I looked up from my phone and said, who said that?
Oh, wow, there are so many things here. I'm always looking at my phone, and you have to put your kid in a leash in order to control him? Judas Priest, woman. All right, first of all, children should not be running amok. There's no reason for it. You need to get that kid under control. However, I will say this. At theme parks, like at Disney and SeaWorld and all the others that we've been to, there's been a handful of kids I've seen on those harnesses. And in some circumstances, when you've got 15 things you're trying to keep track of at the same time, that's not exactly a bad idea. It's not like it's a, you know, it's not something from the Spanish Inquisition. You know, it's not Colonel.
I don't like leashing our kids, although I sort of buy in, you know.
You know, yeah, okay. I have seen a family that has had a toddler, you know, just up and walking, an infant, and all of the baggage that goes along with it, okay? I've seen them with a kid on a leash. The kid's not running and tugging and, Mommy, it makes sense that you don't lose track.
I want to see the six-year-old turn around and go, I am not an animal. I am a man. Release me.
I am a human being. All right, this is the last one. Haley writes to us. Haley says, I've been on Facebook for a while, and I've got something like 500 friends. Good for you, Haley.
Has 500 friends.
The show has over 615.
They're not really your friends.
Yes, they are. They love
not
us.
Not by the traditional definition
they
of friend.
Are. They absolutely love me. Anyway, she goes, I know that's a lot, and they're all people that I have actually met at some point in my life, and I don't accept friend requests from people I don't really know. Anyway, a guy I have one mutual friend with recently sent me a friend request. So I did not accept it. And now, 3 months later, he has sent me an angry message about disrespecting him. Why would somebody I don't even know get mad at me for not accepting a friend request? Should I even bother responding to him? Haley, no. Ignore it. Guy's a creeper. And he's probably trolling your friends list to try and find a hot friend or chick that's, you know, showing off her bikini pictures from the summer. And he's just trying to, you know.
Because that's what you would do.
No, but I have friends that have
done that. Oh, you have friends that would do that.
I
on
know
your
a
friends
guy.
List, yeah.
I know a guy
yeah,
one time
yeah, 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 yeah.
That did. What do you any contribution to that at all? Any
no, that's ridiculous.
It's just don't let that kind of thing bother.
If you have 500 friends that you've met in person, you don't need to worry about friends of friends. You've got 500 friends already.
That's right. How many friends can one person have? There it is. If you want us to answer your very heartfelt questions, send them to seth.mila@wsau.com.
The big celebration is almost here. And no, I'm not talking about John McCain's 100th birthday. I'm talking about your local St. Patrick's Day parade. Hello, I'm Martha Stewart. This year, as you prepare to paint yourself green and pass out on a float while rolling down Main Street, make sure you have a designated driver. A flatbed trailer full of drunken leprechauns is only funny until it careens into the high school marching band. Also, remember to wear something under your kilt. All it takes is one stiff breeze to turn a simple celebration into a lifetime of therapy for traumatized parade viewers. Another helpful reminder, never relieve yourself off the back of your float. It creates a slippery surface which can create havoc with the Shriner mini bikes. And finally, when reciting Irish limericks over a PA system, remember to avoid anything that contains the word Nantucket. Trust me, it will end badly. This is Martha Stewart, wishing you a happy St. Patrick's Day. Bye-bye.
breaking news, severe weather. Hear it on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.